We have a son that turned 7 in October. He has a rare brain tumour. He's nearly 7 years old, and he's had this since he was 18 months old.
Oh, shit.
It's a rare tumour. It's only 2% of all brain tumours, epidermoma.
Is it operable?
He's had 2 partial removals of the tumour.
Yeah.
The problem, Luke, is that 20% of the tumour is intertwined with the brainstem and the vascular system. And we always have known that we will never get through this. And he was always branded sort of 10 to 20% chance of making it to the age of 7. Well, it looks like they're not going to be too far off the mark.
I'm so, so sorry.
Yeah, it's been tough, mate. It's getting real tough. And the reason I called was is that there's a lot of parents out there going through this stuff. You know, you go into that Queensland Children's Hospital, mate, there are sick children everywhere. And I just wanted to let people know, parents know, that there's so much support out there for what they're going through. No parent should have to go through what we're going through at the moment.
I'm so, so sorry.
And what we've witnessed over the years. And also wanted to point out some gratitude towards the oncology and the neurology of Queensland's Children's Hospital. They are just amazing people. They are so devoted. Our oncologist, he's there nearly 24 hours. He's just so devoted. And I think some people don't realise that we have these sort of people that do these sort of jobs, and it's very important. And I don't think these people get the gratitude that they deserve in the hospitals.
I'm listening. I'm just listening.
Yeah. I'll just give you a bit of an example, Luke, what we've been through in the last 6 to 8 weeks.
You take your time.
We've lost our son, Goat Death. Lose the ability to speak. Lose the ability to walk. He's now losing all his motor skills as this tumour keeps growing. I just think that there's a lot of parents out there, people don't realise what they're going through. I mean, you go into that Queensland Children's Hospital and there's children everywhere with cancer and other disorders, diseases. And I sometimes think it all gets forgotten about. We've also noticed that even though we don't put it on our friends and things like that, we've had friends just disappear because a lot of people don't know how to handle these situations.
So your friends, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to talk to you. And you find that they put a distance between them and you.
That's correct, yeah. And we never try to put the burden on anyone, if you know what I mean, because we know that people don't want to hear this sort of thing. Basically, mate, what we've been witnessing and what we're going through, and we're not on our plumb alone, there's so many parents out there doing it. And I feel for them all because I know firsthand what's going on, you know.
It is difficult to talk about. And when you're in a relationship and it's your son or your daughter, your child, it dominates your life, your thoughts, your dreams. It completely dominates the way you are and the way you live every day. And for someone who's not involved in that, I think people feel uncomfortable. I think they don't know how to talk to patients and to parents.
Yeah.
Or maybe, just maybe, it gets too much.
Yeah, I just don't think people know how to process it, Luke, you know.
I think that's right.
Yeah. But unfortunately for the parents with the sick children, they have no choice but to process it.
I know.
And to watch what your child goes through. But at the same time, our little boy all children are so resilient compared to us adults.
Is he aware of what's happening?
He is. We were basically told, Luke, to, when he asked questions and things, to basically lie to him, because you can't tell a 6.5-year-old that he's dying.
So the experts said lie to your son?
Yeah, that's basically the options that we were given, because they said, how do you explain, to a 6.5-year-old that they're dying?
I know. I don't know how to address that. We tell our kids there's Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. But what do we say to our children when they're terminally ill and they ask questions. Why am I always in hospital, Dad?
So, Luke, about 4 weeks ago, he said to his mother, "Mum, I know I'm dying."
He said that. And Mum was like,
He's worked it. He's been around sick children. He's been in the hospital. He's seen so much. He's just worked it out for himself without anyone actually telling him. So he said that to his mother on that day, and she was like, no, we have to sort of try and use pictures and sign language and everything because he can't speak or hear anymore. And then a couple of days later, he said to his auntie, which is his best mate, that when I die, Auntie Mills, will I come back? To actually hear those words come out of your son's mouth is pretty tough, you know? But at the same time, Luke, he came out one day and he said, this is when he could still talk after he lost his hearing. He said, I thought the doctors would fix my hearing, but they can't fix it, so it is what it is. He walks off and goes and does his thing. Like, he never really brings anything up. It's as if he just accepts it. And in between the pain and the discomfort, things like that, he just wants to have fun, play computer games.
And this is where religion can be a great thing. Those people who are religious and believe in the afterlife, you believe in that. That can give you great strength. I know I was giving religion a hard time earlier on, but religion can be a very positive thing, can't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Luke. I'm trying to keep it together here, mate.
You can do whatever you want, and if you want to stop talking, if you want to chat with me later today off air, that's fine. But what you're saying is, as a parent, I don't know how I would cope. You never signed up for this. You've had to learn to cope along. You and your wife have had to cope along the way.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. And no parent should ever have to go through this, you know?
No.
Like, here's our pride and joy.
What's the message you'd like to convey to my listeners right here, right now?
To the parents out there of sick children, be tough, be strong for them, never give up, always be positive, always be happy around, don't let them see you be upset and crying or whatever else.
Would you say always tell your children the truth? What do you do there? What would your advice be?
I really don't know the answer to that one. I really don't, Luke, and no. I don't know if many people do.
No.
You know, like, at that age, it's different if they're 12 or 13 or 10 or above or something, but at that age, you know, like, how do you explain something like that to them? But as it turns out, he worked it out for himself. And the other thing is that to the parents that have sick children, be patient with the oncology teams and whatever else, because they are amazing people that devote their lives to this stuff. Like, our oncology team, we couldn't ask for any more from what they do for us and the support they give us.
Josh, thank you for choosing to call up and talk. I wish I could reach through the bloody phone and give you a big hug.
Oh, thanks, mate. Just, I feel that there's a lot of parents out there that just feel very alone with what's going on with their sick children and that. You know? Sometimes parents talking amongst parents, it's probably a good thing, you know, sick children, to try and understand what other parents have gone through.
Mm.
Yeah. But, yeah, that pretty well wraps it up, Luke. I just wanted to point out that, you know, the oncology teams and things like that are amazing up here in Brisbane. And
do you know what? What I'm thinking now is those people that want to cause dramas because they don't like being told to wear masks, they haven't got much to worry about, have they?
No, Luke, and I get faced with it all the time, mate. You know, somebody telling me, you know, their problem, their life's in shambles because of some little problem, and it's just like, mate, you have no idea. You haven't even lived life yet until you experience something like we're going through. But I think it's really a case, Luke, unless it actually happens to you, you'll never fully understand. Had it never happened to me, I probably would never fully understand it either. You know? But unfortunately, it's a sad part of...
What's your little boy's name?
His name's Slater. If you were to Google Slater Clifton, you would see all about our boy. He's been a bit of a celebrity. He's been on the news quite a few times. He's had the police and fire brigade and everything do things for him. The support you get out there, it's quite amazing, you know, what people will do.
Is there anything at all that me and Jess can do?
At this stage, I don't think so, Luke. We're just playing the waiting game now, mate.
What's the prognosis?
The prognosis, mate, he could pass away tomorrow. It could be weeks. It could be a couple of months. Every day he's losing more and more abilities to do things. And yeah, there's quite a long list of things that are happening. It could be any time now. You know, we're actually registered with palliative care and everything, you know, ready to go into palliative care and things like that, because it's just going to happen all of a sudden. The biggest thing we wish for, Luke, is that he just doesn't wake up one morning, mate, because we don't want to see him suffer.
You don't want to see him suffer. And he's 7.
Yeah, in October, yeah. Yeah.
And what, you're on the road now, you're driving?
Yeah, I work afternoon shift, night shift in Brisbane. I actually live on the Gold Coast, and I drive up to Brisbane every day, every night for work, and I'm just on my way home from a 10-hour shift. And I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, I'm seriously privileged that you chose to ring and talk to me this morning and talk to my listeners. And it puts life in perspective, folks, doesn't it? Doesn't it put life in perspective? You think your problems are great. Maybe you're a bit short of money. Maybe you've got the shits because you've got to wear a mask. Maybe you're in lockdown and you're only allowed to go to the bottle shop and to the shopping centre. And you think that your life is crook. You've got no idea. You've got absolutely no idea. Josh,
I agree.
Josh, Jess just wants to say a quick word with you off air. And can you and I please stay in touch?
Yes, I'll call you at a later stage. Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your time there, Luke. It's been great talking to you.
No. Thank you for yours.
Yeah, thanks, Luke.
Stay there, Jess. Can you talk to Josh off air? Make sure he's okay. It puts it in perspective, doesn't it, folks? And Josh insisted that he said to Jess, look, I want to talk to Luke, I want to talk to his listeners. It puts it in perspective. You think you've got problems. Imagine being a parent and having to deal with that. Slater Clifton. I'll look it up. This is the Night Shift on Triple M, 133353, if you'd like to call in and have your say.